With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and this afternoon I really am delighted not only to get John Paul Mason back on the show, but also to welcome Morten Wieghorst and Mark Reaper to A Celtic State of Mind. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very, very well, thank you.
You are both looking great, I've got to say. And JP and I were talking before, we said if you had said to us when we were 15, 16 years of age that we'd be sitting here with two guys who were heroes of that Wim Jansen season, we wouldn't have believed you. But here we are. JP, what was your memories of that campaign?
Oh, well, it was my first year at university. So my life kind of changed in many ways in that I was spending time away from home, staying through in Edinburgh and going out a lot and enjoying beverages for the first time on a consistent basis. And I met a friend who was very, very already ensconced in Celtic, being Celtic games, Celtic away games in particular. And he started taking me to Celtic away games. But prior to that, it'd only been home, Celtic Park. So my world was opened up, and I'm so glad it was that season that it happened, because, you know, I started to see the team in places that I'd never seen before. And, you know, places like St Johnstone away and Dunfermline away were kind of exotic to me at that time. there were climbs that I hadn't really been to before. And it was just great experiencing these stadiums for the first time and seeing such a brilliant team come together in that season, which was obviously so important for the club.
Yeah, so important. What was it like, Morten, in terms of the social aspect that JP's talking about there, for you guys, for Henrik? You know, we had some Scandinavian players at the club. Was it a case of you lads would maybe suit yourselves, or was it more of a bond with all the Scottish boys being involved in a social circle as well?
I think it was there was a great togetherness in the squad. Now, at the beginning of the season, there was quite a number of new guys coming in, had to settle in socially and on the pitch as well. But I think there was a great bond across the nationalities. There were quite a few nationalities at the time, and Henrik was one of the Scandinavian boys. Harald was another one. And Mark, of course. I was sort of in between because I had been in Scotland for, well, since late 92. Mm-hmm. I started my Scottish career at Dundee. So I knew the environment, and I had been at Celtic for a couple of years, joined in 95. But I think that squad in 97, 98, there was quite a strong bond right from the beginning of that season, and we needed that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd been playing at Dundee, we knew loads about you, Morten. Mark, you'd been down at West Ham, and we often ask players if they've played in English football, what is that like to then come up to Scotland? What was the big changes that you noticed yourself, Mark?
Well, obviously, there's no doubt about the league is much more competitive in England. But then again, for me, coming from West Ham to Celtic, it was West Ham, a big club as well, but Celtic, that was just massive. It's still difficult for me to explain to my Danish friends and people that I know over here how big a club Celtic actually are. It's really, really massive, and you don't really get to know it before you're there, and even when you get there, it's still difficult to comprehend that people are so passionate about the club and all the society and the charities surrounding the club. And so for me, it was just a great experience to come up there and meet a lot of great guys and speak to the fans and the people in Scotland. We loved being up there, so it was really nice for me to and my family as well to get to Glasgow. And Morten said about the team, I think it was a great mixture of a base that was primarily Scottish, and then there's a primarily as well Scandinavians coming in, and we sort of connect really well because everybody in Scandinavian, they know not just English language, but they can speak German as well, and some French and some Spanish. So we connect really well with a lot of the guys who were there already, and it was really easy for me to bond into to this club. And then I think the togetherness with the players that season, it was just phenomenal. We bonded really well, and we hung out after the training. We hung out after the games, and went for a beer now and then. And it was really good. And the girlfriends and wives, they hung out as well. So everything sort of gelled. And obviously the results, they were pretty important. And we knew all about 9 and 10 and these numbers. And that was obviously important for us as well to stop that road that Rangers were in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's one thing about Celtic, and I don't know what it's like with other clubs that you've played for, but we never forget our honours, our successes, our heroes. And 25 years on from that season, there is going to be a celebration. There's a tribute night in Glasgow on the 12th of May where you guys are going to get together with some of your teammates from the 97-98 campaign to pay tribute to the success of that team, but also to the dearly departed Wim Jansen. That's going to be happening in May the 12th at the Armadillo, and the tickets for that event are underneath this video. We've been talking to some of your teammates about that campaign. Morten, I'm going to come to you first. You were already at Celtic when Wim Jansen joined the club. What was your first impressions of him?
Very knowledgeable of the game, very laid back, and I think that was a pretty important factor in the way things were going to pan out for the season. That Wim, of course, with the support of Murdo as his assistant, Wim was an outsider. He didn't have any history of Scottish football. He had Murdo to support him with Murdo's knowledge of the Scottish game, but there was going to be so much pressure on from the beginning of the season in 97-98 that I think it was was a strength that Wim hadn't had any previous experience of the Scottish game. Mm-hmm. He was laid back. He was still strong in his views on the game. We felt that right from the beginning. Obviously, being Dutch, most Dutch people have an opinion of the game. And it was the same with Wim. He remained calm. We had a couple of dodgy results at the beginning of the season, lost the first two games of the league campaign. But he remained calm and he slowly gelled the team together. He had an eye for putting players together and relations. So it was that was my first impressions were very good. But I also knew that Precious was gonna build, as Mark mentioned. I think the players, the coaches, the manager got reminded regularly that how important that season, how that season was going to be. Mm-hmm. We had to stop the 10.
Oh, for sure. As a fan, JP and I would have been brought up with the stories of the original 9-in-a-row team that played for Celtic. And of course, we then found ourselves as supporters in the middle of a run by Rangers that were, you know, went on to equal that 9-in-a-row. JP, I'm going to ask you about your emotions in that season. Everything was a bit nervy. There was a real anxiety and apprehension from the terraces, wasn't there?
Big time. If ever there was a season where you were waiting or listening to the other team's game on the radio, at games in particular, it was just, you're always looking to somebody nearby to be like, what's the score from wherever ground they were playing, because it was that tight. But just going back to Martin, you obviously were there before Wim Jansen came in, and you kind of experienced, I suppose, as a player, the kind of heartbreak that we felt as a fan in those 2 years before winning the league, because, I mean, that was The League Cup victory would have been your first trophy at Celtic, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because, like, it'd just been two seasons of kind of despair, you know, watching Rangers win 9 in a row, and I'm sure they probably won a treble in there somewhere along the lines as well. So, like, for someone like yourself to have experienced that, but then to be there in the season where we triumphed, there was players like Peter Grant and Paul McStay who had been through that and didn't get to experience that. So I think for guys like yourself, it was extra special that season.
Definitely. I felt it firsthand, and I felt so sorry for the likes of Paul McStay, Peter Grant, who were so Celtic through and through. Tommy Burns, who signed me, he was so passionate about the club. We played some fantastic football from... Well, the season 1995-96, especially, as I remember, we only got beat once or something like that, but we still ended up second in the league. It was so hard. And, you know, the players you mentioned there, and I included Tommy Burns.
Absolutely.
I just felt so sorry for the guys that we didn't manage to win the league. So when we finally won it, and stopped the 10 in a row, the relief was massive. And I remember thinking at the time, yes, we've won it. And maybe Paul McStay wasn't there. Peter Grant was there at the beginning of the season. Tommy Burns wasn't there as a manager. But they were still part of it. They had been part of the build-up to that league campaign, 97-98. They were just unlucky that we didn't win it before 98.
Yeah. Mark, your situation, your experience would have been a slightly different one from Morton's, who knew about the 8 and the 9, and you've came into the cauldron. How did you first hear that Wim Jansen and Celtic were interested in signing you? What was the first contact?
Well, I think we were a few games into the season in the Premier League already, and the sort of interest started coming up. I think we've played, 3 or 4 games with West Ham, and then suddenly it just went really, really quickly. I think over a few days the deal got sorted, and I think I arrived sort of Friday the 12th September, something like that, and I had to play already the following day away to Motherwell, and knowing that I think we'd lost the first two games of the season, and I think the bookies, they'd already paid out for Rangers being the champions that year. So it was really, I think it was a tough call. It was not tough for me to sign up with Celtic because I loved every minute of that. But I think for the players who been part of not winning for nine years in a row and then having lost the first two games of the season and the bookies paid out for Rangers being champion already, it was hard and I could feel that the tension was there both with the players and obviously the staff as well. Wim was quite calm. Murdo, he knew all about the situation, but we went on a really good run afterwards, and obviously the cup final win, the League Cup, sort of gave us a bit of momentum, and I don't think it was the greatest season in terms of results that Celtic have ever played, but obviously at the end it counted more that we had 2 points more than Rangers when we finished, and that was I can just say for myself, I've never felt so fatigued in my life after the last game. I think we were all knackered and really really happy, but the tension and the pressure for us as foreigners were big, but for the homegrown Celtic players, I think it was just unreal. I remember a few of the players puking before some of the games just because they were nervous, and you could feel that it was really really special for a lot of the homegrown talents. Morten and I played big games for Denmark, European finals and World Cup. We played just as big games as you get up in Glasgow, but for the homegrown players, it was unbelievable, I think, the pressure they won.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear all that from a fan's perspective, because you have this impression as a fan, JP, that footballers are just finely tuned athletes. They're like, you know, machines, and they go in and they play these games. But to hear about the nerves and people puking up before the game, I find that really interesting and insightful. Morten, you mentioned Murdo McLeod earlier, and I think it's important to mention someone like Murdo because, you know, he was a real link to the club. He must have been a brilliant support to someone like Wim Jansen coming in. Wim obviously had made his name with Feyenoord and the Dutch national team, but he'd been managing over in Japan as well, with no real link to Celtic, other than the fact that his Feyenoord team beat us in the European Cup final in 1970. But how important was Murdo as a support mechanism for Wim?
I think very important, just to as support for Wim, as you say. He had a knowledge of the Scottish game, knowledge from his own playing career, his international career. And I would have thought that he was able to guide Wim through some situations that Wim didn't know about. Obviously, Wim had his own experiences and knowledge, but I think going into a league, an unknown league, there will be, as a coach, as a manager, there will be some things that you need some extra support. And I think Murdo gave Wim that. Murdo was great on the training ground as well, taking some of the sessions, and just basically they were a good mix, a good pair. So he's got a great share of that that season, 97-98. And I know your question was about Murdo, but we've not really talked about the fans. The fans were amazing that season. We have to realize, Martin and myself, being foreigners, we quickly found out, you know, the history of the club and how much the support means. And I can only try to to think how much tension the fans would have felt that season with the 9-in-a-row record on at stake. So, but the support of the fans were amazing. Absolutely fantastic. It's going to be great on May 12th to try and, you know, get as many as long as possible and celebrate this together. I can't believe it's been 25 years, by the way.
That is incredible. Mark, we were talking just before we went on live that you were talking about, you know, the fact that you had played with some great players, particularly in the Danish national team. And there's this massive conversation up in Scotland about the greatest import in Scottish football. You guys played with Henrik Larsson in the hoops of Celtic, of course. But sometimes part of that argument is one of the Laudrup brothers. I know that obviously Michael and Brian were fantastic players. Mm-hmm. But where do you rate Henrik, Mark? Where do you rate him alongside the players you've played with?
Well, he's right at the top, I think. Sorry about that.
Henrik, eh?
Brian Laudrup's on the phone.
Henrik, funny makes him.
No, he's right at the top. That was Brian, yeah. he didn't agree. No, obviously Henrik is a team player, I think. More than both Michael and Brian, they had unbelievable skills. Probably more skillful than Henrik as well. But Henrik gelled in to all the teams he's played for. He's working unbelievable hard, and then he just got everything to gel at Celtic. We came in the same season, and we spent a lot of time together, both with the families and Henrik and myself and Morten obviously as well, and he was just such a nice guy and he scored the goals, and the work rate he put into every game that was just unbelievable. And I don't think people really understand that obviously he scores the goal and he got a lot of attention in that sense, but he was just much more than that, both in the dressing room and his work rate training and in the games, it was phenomenal. So he's right at the top, well, he could change games almost by himself, and yeah, great player. Well,
super. You know that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Morten, you had played alongside some brilliant imports from the likes of Pierre Van Hooijdonk to Paolo Di Canio and George Cadet. What was different about Henrik Larsson, do you think, Morten?
I think Mark said it so well already, that Henrik was more of a team player. Pierre, George, Paolo were great individuals, but I don't think they had the same commitment, not quite the same commitment as Henrik, in terms of working hard for the team when the team wasn't in possession of the ball. And I don't think any, with all respect, because they were great players in their own right, but Henrik was just amazing in terms of scoring goals. He could score in so many different ways. You couldn't hold him down. He scored with his head, both feet, thighs, shoulders, mm-hmm. Chest, whatever. He was so much in command when he got close to the goal, and he knew that he could turn the game, as Mark said, he could turn the game in a split second, scoring a goal out of nothing. And he actually had a great eye for attacking spaces as well, and I think that was one of his great strengths. You know, it looks easy when players like Henrik scores their goals, but they have a knack of attacking the free spaces at the right time. So it made it easier for me as a midfielder, for instance, to attack the spaces with the ball, and then you knew Henrik was gonna turn up, and he had the technical skills to finish it off. But first and foremost, I think Mark nailed it. He was such a big team player, even though he was such a big star.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great to hear. And obviously, he's a hero of ours. And that jersey over JP's shoulder reminds me of various players. Morten Wieghorst, you're one of them, but Henrik Larsson as well, wearing that jersey with the dreadlocks. It was a great sight. Now,
Oh no, I can't believe that.
Where's Morten Wieghorst?
I'll see if I can fit him into mine as well. No, obviously, yeah, I'm very flattered about that. He's played with some big games, big guns, but yeah, well we just got on really well and peace with that, obviously.
Scored with his first touch of the ball. Like, the guy is unbelievable.
A genius. Yeah. You know, we talk quite a lot about the signings that came in, but here's something for you. When Matt Reaper joined the team, Morten, we went on an 11-game unbeaten run. Now, that did include the European games against Liverpool that Mark was ineligible for. But during those games, Morten, I think as a fan, we've seen, you know, the team coming up against quality opposition. We didn't get beat. We got knocked out away goals. It was not an each and 2-2. Was there a belief within the squad, Morten, after those two performances that you did have what it takes to go on and win that league?
Definitely. I think so. We had great players. The team was beginning to gel, went on an unbeaten run, and we competed it well against Liverpool. I thought we should have won over the two.
Got it.
I think we had a penalty appeal turned down at Anfield. So we were a little bit unlucky, but there was a genuine belief that we could go on and do the most important thing of that season, and that was winning the league, obviously. The answer is yes, definitely.
You know, Mark, you come in and very quickly you play two games against Rangers, home and away. And obviously this is a massive derby that is renowned all over the football world, Mark. How did you find it in terms of a spectacle when you came up from England? Was it everything you expected?
Yes, it was. As I said before, I think it was in one of them games where I saw quite a few of our players get physically sick before the game. And that sort of made a big impression that you could, well, everybody could get excited about a football game and get nervous but this was so much more than football. It was the biggest passion, both the players but the fans as well. And for me as a Dane and Morten as well and Henrik, well, we'd lost games before that with the national team, but the homegrown Celtic players, they could just not afford to lose them games, and they knew what was at stake more than we probably did with the 10 in a row. So it was just so important for them that we did well against the Rangers, obviously, because that was a big part of winning the league, but massive, massive games for the fans as well. It just sort of made the next 3-4 weeks of the living in Glasgow, because you had to hear from the opposite side of the town how bad you were playing and all that. So it was really, really important games, I still think it's one of the biggest games in world football. We're talking up with the Madrid Barca games, and then again, I think because of the religion and all the troubles that you'd experienced, I think it's really, really big, the game, and yeah, it's hard for me to mention a bigger game in world football.
Well, this week, obviously, we've got the big game on Sunday, and it's at the forefront of our thoughts 24 hours a day leading up to that game. But we do have a question. I'm going to throw this one to you, Morten. You'll be able to maybe answer this one. William O'Toole is asking how you prepared for big games when you wore the hoops. What I would like to know is, was there a difference in preparation for the big games between Tommy Burns and Wim Jansen?
Overall, no. As a player, you knew the importance of the games against, especially Rangers and the Old Firm. I think for both managers, it was a question of trying to calm things. I think it was a bit easier for Wim because he didn't have any luggage. He came in as a Dutchman, probably having been told the importance of the game. But for someone like Tommy Burns, born and bred in Glasgow, Celtic through and through, it was so emotional, so passionate, that it was probably a bit more difficult for someone like Tommy to try and keep things calm. He did try. But I think to get an easy build-up, it's to try and find the balance between knowing the importance of the game, knowing that you have to perform on the day to get the win, but also to keep things nice and calm and relaxed leading up to the game. I remember when I first joined Celtic, we went to Seamill, and that was a bit of a change of scenery because we didn't go away before any league games apart from the Old Firm games. We went down to Seamill at the coast. And that was a bit special. So you knew something special was coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big game on Sunday, of course. And that League Cup final of 1997, we beat Dundee United 3-0. And the goal that opened the scoring, of course, was Mark Reaper. Talk us through that, Mark. I mean, obviously, we went on to win 3-0, and it done wonders for our entire campaign. But talk us through that moment where you opened the scoring against Dundee United.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details. Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Well, it was always nice to score a goal. I didn't do a lot of them or make a lot of them through my career. I made some important ones, but this was obviously special for the whole team and for Celtic as a club, because it took a little bit of weight off our shoulders because we had the one, probably the lesser one, but we had a trophy already then, and it boosted sort of our confidence for the remainder of the season. And obviously pleased for myself to score the goal, the 1-0 goal. But I've never been the player that sort of, I took more pride in the opponents not scoring goals. So for me, it was just a bonus, and I was just as happy when Henrik or Morten or someone else scored the goal. But obviously, a cup final, scoring, winning, a good experience, yeah.
Yeah,
great cross on the goal though.
Sorry,
it was a great cross. Yeah.
I think it was a missed hit from our winger or something like that.
Brilliant.
I remember it, Morten. It was a good cross.
nice assist. And that was your second League Cup final, wasn't it, Morten? I mean, how big a part did that play, and what was to come? And I mean, I'm looking at it from Angie's perspective last season and also this season. What does that do for the momentum?
I think for that particular season, as Mark mentions, that gave us even more belief that we could go and win the big one at the end of the season. It was a kind of mid-season event, the first trophy of the season to be won. So it was definitely a boost for team morale and the belief that we could, here's a team that can win trophies. So it's a nice thing, that League Cup mid-season. There's something there to compete for, a trophy to be won. Early days, and it gives a boost, definitely. As you say, I've been in a League Cup final before, and it's definitely nice to be on the winning side. Not so nice to lose cup finals. So great boost in the 97-98 season.
For sure. I mean, I'm looking at Sunday. JP, what's your thoughts on Sunday before I ask Morten and Mark for a bold prediction? What's your thoughts?
Oh, no predictions coming from me, but I just wanted to talk about that League Cup final briefly. And I think the significance is maybe lost in the fact that it was at Ibrox. The fact we won it at Ibrox. Mm. The fact that my first League Cup final was the 94 Raith Rovers League Cup final. And I went there with my dad and obviously left in complete and utter despair at what happened, but that's football, isn't it? But so to win the League Cup that season it did feel like, wait a minute, we can't. It was like somebody taking the sort of breaks off us. We hadn't won anything really since 95, the Airdrie Cup final, and even that was a total anomaly because prior to that we hadn't won anything for, well, 89.
6 years, yeah.
Yeah, so like we hardly won any trophies. So to win it and win it so emphatically, header in off the post to get us off the mark from Mark Reaper, unbelievable feeling. I didn't have a ticket for that game. I was in the Hoops Bar in the Gallagate. Remember it very, very well. My mate tried his best to get me a ticket, but they were absolute gold dust, as they are for Sunday, by the way. They're total gold dust for Sunday. I got one in the second ballot, very luckily, through Celtic, so I count myself fortunate for that. But by the time my friend came and met me in the pub after the game, I'd been drinking since about 1 o'clock. So I was full of festive spirit by that point. And I can remember us getting the train back to Edinburgh, and we got, this is before they stopped you drinking on the train, so we got like a bag of cans for the train. I just remember singing Celtic songs all the way back in the train to Edinburgh, thanks to your good selves. So, thank you.
For sure. Morten, will you get a chance to watch the game on Sunday, Morten?
Yes, I'll definitely make an effort. I'm watching a lot of football games these days. I have to through my job, but I'll make sure I watch the one on Sunday. I should find a channel that broadcasts over here. Yeah. It's going to be. It's always a special game. Cup finals are special, and a Celtic Rangers cup final is big. So it'll be interesting. I don't get to watch all the Celtic games these days, but as many as I can, and I'll be looking forward to the one on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, JP, myself, and many other Celtic fans have been so impressed with Matt O'Reilly, you know, since he came to Celtic just over a year ago. And obviously, he's got the underaged international caps. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on the Danish squad as a result of that, Morten. I mean, how well is he doing? I know that you're involved with the national team and you'll be keeping an eye on him. How impressed have you been since he came to Celtic?
Matt's done very well, and I actually came across to see him with the then under 21 manager of Denmark, Jesper Sorensen. Came to see him in at the end of last year. Spoke to him, and he's a very ambitious young player who's done amazingly well since joining Celtic. Recently, he's been a bit in and out of the team, but I expect him to be back in. He's a very good player, and he's one that we are keeping tabs on. He's definitely on the radar. So we'll wait and see what the future holds. Skillful player, can see he sees a pass. He can play in tight spaces, and he likes to get into the box and score goals as well, which is important for a midfielder of his kind. So. We'll wait and see. There's big competition for places to get into the Denmark setup, but he's one that we are following.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. Mark, will you get a chance to watch the game on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll watch it. I'm not sure if I'll be down from the slope, but I'll definitely get the highlights. I'm going skiing in Austria now, so. So we'll from tomorrow and the next couple of days we'll be in Austria skiing. So, but I'll watch and follow it as I always do. It's not the easiest to get all the games from the Scottish league in Denmark. But when Celtic and especially Celtic Rangers are playing, it's normally always on. So we'll get a chance to watch it as well. Always
brilliant.
Great.
Superb. Paul Byrne actually comes in to ask about Angie's style of play and how it's viewed in other European countries. Mark, I'll ask yourself that question. How impressed have you been since Ange Postecoglou came over? He's been a revelation at Celtic.
Yeah, I think he's playing the way that the Celtic fans wants to watch football. It's attacking and possession and it's I think it's great and I think he's been impressive and he's got some big shoes to follow as well, so it's been really good.
You know, the thing we were talking about earlier, Morten, is the fact that you had the experience as a Celtic player under Tommy, and we had come up against a very strong Rangers side. But there was a moment, and I don't know if you agree with this, JP, where the real belief came to me on the 2nd of January 98, where we beat Rangers, and the goals were scored by Craig Burley and Paul Lambert. Two new signings, a Champions League winner and an international player in Burley. How big was that game, Morten? And coming away from that with a 2-0 win, with new guys contributing, it seemed as a fan that was massive in terms of the momentum swing.
I think you're absolutely right. It meant so much to the team and the fans coming away with that 2-0 win. On the day, two great goals, as I remember them, especially Lambos, absolute cracker. So it meant the world to us that we managed to get the win over the biggest rivals, and we knew psychologically that would mean a lot for the rest of the season. We send a message. And we have to remember Rangers had a strong side that season as well. So it was always going to be tight. So to win the game against them on that day was significant. We all knew that and then they knew it.
Oh, for sure. There's a few games that we've got to speak about. We've got to speak about the Dunfermline game, the St Johnstone game. But just a reminder to everybody tuning in that the heroes of the 98 title-winning side will be paying tribute to Wim Jansen on the 12th of May. It's at the Armadillo. And if you wish to come along, the ticket link is underneath this video. We've got actually a competition running where you could win a pair of tickets for that particular event. All you need to do is subscribe to the channel and we'll be announcing them very, very soon. East End Park, JP, talking about anxiety, talking about concern and worry and all these other emotions. That was a massive day as a Celtic fan, wasn't it?
It certainly was. It was one of those games where again, you couldn't get a ticket for love nor money there, where they were in short supply. People were offering arms and limbs for tickets for that game because everyone thought that, that was the day we were going to potentially do it. And I watched the game with my dad in the house, and we were sitting there at 1-0, and I knew there would be a party of all parties in Glasgow if we were to do it. So I made the terrible error of putting my jacket on, and my dad said, "I'll drive you through to Glasgow if it happens." So I'm sitting with my jacket on, 88th minute, Craig Falconbridge jumps up, glancing header, Simon Donnelly in tears probably thinking, this is me getting written into Celtic folklore, and then an equaliser just ended it all. So swiftly took my jacket off and then just sort of went into a quiet, dark room for an hour or two because it was, I was a little bit worried at that point, I have to say.
Yeah. I've often wondered, Mark, the 6 days between the Dunfermline game, which ended 1-1, and then the St Johnstone game, what does a manager do to try and just keep everybody calm for the big game at Celtic Park? I mean, what was that week like for you guys?
Oh, it was a long week, for sure. I think Wim handled it really, really well. He was always calm right through the season. Murdo, he was more like a fiery type. He was the guy who sort of got the spirit up in the dressing room amongst a lot of the other boys. But Wim was really, really calm and never really. I think he was really tough to sort of get out of control. Wim was. He looked calm, let me say it that way, because he definitely felt the pressure as well. And I think the week up to the last game, you could really feel the especially the Celtic homegrown players, they were sick from an anxiety and yeah, if we'd lost it in the last game of the season, I don't think anyone could have gone into Celtic and Glasgow again. That would have been terrible for everybody, especially the homegrown boys. Us foreigners, we knew we had a place we could get away to, but the guys who lives and have their lives in Glasgow, they would have had troubles right the rest of their lives. So it was just massive, and you could feel the tension from everybody, and obviously it was really nice when the result finally got in on the last day.
Yeah, it's great looking back, Morten, but I just remember that week being very stressful. You mentioned earlier that Wim had a calmness about him. How critical was that? Because as Mark says, you've got guys like Jackie McNamara, Simon Donnelly, Tom Boyd, the homegrown guys that, you know, this means the world to. Was Wim very good that week and just keeping everybody on an even keel?
He was amazing, just like Mark says. To be honest, me personally, I can't remember that week. The only thing I can remember is the longest week ever. And I remember thinking after the Dunfermline game, can we just please play tomorrow? We want to play that game straight away against St Johnstone to get this sorted. But the days were just long. But I can't remember it. Basically, what I can remember is the game against St Johnstone when we wrapped it up and getting in front pretty early in the game through Henrik Strike and Harald wrapping things up at the end. I also remember a few nervy moments where I think St Johnstone hit the bar at 1-0. But what a relief at the end. And just felt so happy for everyone. Just like I mentioned earlier, that the old guys, the players like Tony Stay, Peter Grant, all the homegrown boys, because the pressure was immense. And for all the fans, I remember the fans just jumping about. Some were crying, a lot of people were crying, and the rest were just dancing and jumping on top of each other. Amazing scenes.
Yeah, it was. You know, looking back again, I think that, Larson, he settled the nerves quite a bit that day. But I felt good for Harold Brattbach because he answered quite a lot of critics, Morten. He had been a guy who had been on the end of a lot of criticism. Was it important for you as a team that Harold got a moment in the sun?
I think so. As you say, Harold's been under criticism. To get that goal for him was great. But again, Harold was a team player. He never complained, but he was being, at times he was being unfairly treated in the press. But to get that goal was great. Great for Harold. He was a team player, and it must have been great relief. And he's gone down as a legend now. Score that winner, it must have been nice for him personally.
Yeah, for sure. Now, JP and I are both massive music fans and we know what the reference is to, but Smell the Glove became a big thing, Mark. You must have just been getting used to the Glasgow humour and wondering yourself, what on earth was this Smell the Glove? I mean, what was your memories of that?
Yeah, I think it was Tosh McKinley who suddenly came off with the T-shirts with the Smell of the Glove sign on, and to this day I still don't know what it means. I think but it got a lot of attention, and as Morten said, until Harold scored that goal, we could feel on the park every time someone made a little bit of a mistake, the fans were mumbling, and you could hear the tension. Almost the silence, you could hear that as well. When it was a really, really nice game to play, but on the other hand, it was an awful game to play as well, because you knew what it meant to a lot of people, and when Harold scored the goal, I think we could enjoy the last, I think was it another 10 or 15 minutes to go of the game. We could enjoy the last bit of it. But until Harold scored the goal, and that just shows us how important that goal was. Before that, I don't think anyone enjoyed playing the game. But the last 10 or 15 minutes, we really could enjoy, and I think the fans could enjoy it as well. Because before that, it was just pure tension, and we didn't play well. So. Until that, and as Morten said, I think St. Johnstone hit the bar, and there was a lot of tension. But it was really, really nice, and I think it's probably after the game, it's probably the most that I have ever felt relief. And I've played some really big games with the national team as well, but that was just pure relief. And you just felt so, so tired because the week up till the St. Johnstone game, there was just a massive build-up, and you knew what it meant to, well, millions and millions of Celtic fans around the world. So it was just big, and a lot of tension got off our shoulders, and a lot of relief for holding the trophy at the end.
Yeah, I mean, 25 years later, JP, we're still talking about it. We're celebrating that victory, and the guys are going to get back together in May for a tribute evening to Wim Jansen. I'm going to leave the last question for you, JP. You can throw it out to the guys who have given us 50 minutes of their time today, and we've got to really thank you for that. So over to you, JP.
I mean, this is just flown in, and honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you both. Before I ask a question, I just wanted to mention another game that took place that season that was pretty significant that might not be considered significant, but you'll probably remember it. We won away at Rugby Park on a Wednesday night. I think we won, it was either 2-0 or 2-1. And that was such a big result, because I think in the season that we lost the league the year before, we used to always lose at Rugby Park. For some reason, it was like an absolute bogey ground for us. And I remember there was those two players, was it Alex Burke and David Bagan? Like, right. Those names are etched into my mind as people that like scored against Celtic and just caused us all ends of trouble. But we won away on a Wednesday night, and I listened to the game on the radio. I don't think it was televised, and I sound like I'm a bit of an alcoholic or something, but I remember that night getting very, very drunk, and my friends had to take me home and put me into my bed. And then I then decided to get out of my bed and go next door to the local pub where I worked and remind all the locals of the fact that Celtic had won and were going to win the league and everything else. And the next day I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I went into the Terfikin Inn last night. Why did I do that? I was dreading going into my shift the next time I went to work because I was like, what did I say? And I just, one of the locals, Xander, who's no longer with us, he came up to me and he grabbed me around the collar and he just went, I know you've had to put up with a lot of crap in here, but see if you ever do that again. I'm sorry. So, yeah, that's a very strong memory for me. But I just, I guess, what would be your, you've obviously, your Celtic players, well known to everyone of our vintage and anyone that's been passed down, like, How does it feel now when you're a Celtic player and you're going to be recognised all the time because it's just the fact of life? So what is it like to be recognised and have conversations with Celtic fans probably all over the world? I mean, you're going to Austria skiing. I bet you any money someone stops you on that slope for a selfie.
That's because Mark's going to wear his Celtic jersey skiing.
Shows you how big a club it is, and it is true. No matter where you go, you get recognized. I've been to Glasgow quite a few times afterwards, and I've brought my family and my kids, and I always tell them you got to be prepared that it's not like walking around in Denmark. They're really passionate, and you get known even though. People who'd never seen me play football, they also know you, and I think they really got surprised when we were up there last time 20 years after we'd left there, and how much recognition you get, and how passionate the fans are. I tell the people in Denmark when I sort of have to explain how big a club it is. Both me and Morten, we've been up there twice playing a testimonial and so on. And both times, I think the first time was against Motherwell. That was 10 years after the 10 in a row. And there was 60,000 people. And this was just watching us old players who couldn't run anymore. And then we were up there a few years ago as well, playing another testimonial. Another 60,000 people coming to watch us, and now no one could walk anymore and run anymore, and that's just tells you how big. I don't think anywhere in the world you could get that sort of attention attendance for a game between old men running around who can't play football anymore, and it just shows you how passionate the people in Glasgow and the Celtic fans in general are. And it's just a big, big privilege and a pleasure to have been part of that.
You didn't sign a 3-year deal, you signed a lifetime deal, mate. That's
you do.
Yeah. What about yourself, Morten? I mean, the legacy of the teams that you played with, the successes that you had, is it something that revisits you time and time again?
Definitely. It stays with you for the rest of your life. And I have to say, I feel immensely proud of having played for Celtic, represented the club, so many fans, passionate fans, like Mark says. It means so much to a lot of people. I have to say, it's the best time of my playing career. And I was at Celtic for 6.5 years. And I often think, I would have liked to have stayed for my whole playing career at Celtic. It was a great time, great memories, great teammates, fantastic players, and a massive, massive support. So it's such a big thing, and I actually think it gets bigger as you grow older, and that's a nice thing. So I can't wait to go back on May 12th to hopefully have a great night to remember, and you know, hopefully a lot of fans will come along. I certainly look forward to seeing. The boys, the guys like John Clark, and you know, people connected with the club. It's always such a pleasure going back. It almost feels like going home when I touch down in Glasgow. So I can't wait.
Lovely to hear. Honestly, JP and I are so appreciative, as will all the viewers be, that you've given us your time this afternoon, gents. And we do look forward to seeing you again in May. Enjoy the game at the weekend. Mark, enjoy the slopes in Austria as well. And hopefully we'll see you again. Take care, lads.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
JP, that was outstanding. I loved every single minute of that. It was superb. Absolute gentleman, weren't they? Absolute gentleman.
Oh, brilliant. So easy to talk to. And I mean, we could have easily done another hour there. I didn't even mention Morten Vikhorst Strabona. I had that written down. There was a game, I remember 6-0 away to Aberdeen, and he crossed with a Strabona for Reggie Blinker. I was there. It was
amazing.
Absolute liquid football. Ian Wright did his daft celebration when he jumped into the ground as well. Remember, he just stuck his head in the ground.
No, it was brilliant. It's brilliant memories. And it is frightening that it's been 25 years since that title win, JP. It's so vivid in the memory. But we are making new memories all the time. And Sunday, it's the big one. You say you managed to get a ticket?
Yeah, I got one in the second ballot because obviously I'm on the Home Cup ticket scheme. And I was delighted to log into my account and see that I was able to purchase a ticket, and I did it within seconds. And I met Nick Wood, who runs the Heriot Watt Celtic Supporters Club through in Edinburgh. I met him outside the ground on Saturday and told him I'd got a ticket in the second ballot, and he went, "You're so jammy," because like apparently it was like hundreds in the second ballot as opposed to thousands. So I guess. My number came up and I got a ticket, so I'm grateful for that. But I couldn't even contemplate the idea of watching it on the TV somewhere, because just
not even on the slopes of Austria.
Well, maybe on the slopes of the Big Mark Reaper.
the equivalent of the clubhouse. Yeah, I can imagine that.
I mean, if you're going to give me an ideal scenario, I think that's up there, you know, because I've been itching to get away snowboarding somewhere and. Very envious of the bold Mark Reaper away snowboarding or skiing this weekend.
See, the thing with these guys, you've been busy the last couple of weeks with your job, JP, but, you know, we had Simon Donnelly and Paul Lambert coming in, and then Jackie McNamara last week, and then Morton and Mark this week. And I'm looking at them thinking, you know, they've probably got about 10 years on us. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? You know, if I'm looking like these guys, as fit as these guys in 10 years, I'll be happy. I mean, they look tremendous.
Scandinavians, they just don't age. It's weird. But I know they're really, really great to talk to them. And I do wonder if I just revealed that. I wonder if Mark Reaper knew that Henrik had put him in his top 11 of players that he'd played with. I don't know if he knew or not, but he probably did. But even still, it was nice to, if anybody else didn't know that, it was pretty cool. Because it just came up in the search bar in YouTube, and I clicked it and I thought, he put Mark Reaper in his top 11, and I watched the full 5 minutes, and then he was just like, yeah, centre-half alongside Ronald Koeman. It's just high praise indeed, isn't
what
it?
What a lineup, by the way.
Ronaldinho and Zlatan Ibrahimovic up front. Like, that just shows you how unbelievable a career Larsson had as a player, just like the players that he played with. The night I saw him with Man United, it was, I think he got subbed for either Rooney or Ronaldo. So he played the greats at Man United as well. So
he did. And obviously, we had to get the question in, who was better, Henrik or Brian Laudrup? And Mark Reaper gave us the answer as well, which was, expected.
I mean, it's a small sample size for Brian Laudrup, really, isn't it? I mean, compared to Larsson, I don't really think they're comparable. I think what Larsson did over his time, scoring European finals and... Or a final, rather. I mean, obviously, there's a hell of a lot of bias going on there because I love the man.
Of course. But yeah, you've got to ask the guy that's played with the two of them. So I'm going to take his word for it, JP. Today was a fantastic day. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Boyd live at Gracie's, followed by Martin O'Neill at Barra's Art and Design on Saturday night. Then, of course, the big one, the League Cup final on Sunday, and we'll be here to cover that game as well. Thanks, everybody, for continually supporting what Axsome is doing. We are trying our best to give you the best content we can possibly produce. If you don't want to miss any of that, then subscribe to the channel. You will be thrown into a prize draw where you might be able to see Mark and Morten and others at the Armadillo on the 12th of May. We're giving away tickets. The other ones that we've been giving away haven't been claimed yet, so... you know, we might have to put them back up again, which is only fair, JP. I've got to thank everybody for getting involved, and thank you once again on the return of JP Mason for your time on A Celtic State of Mind.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's EASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.